Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I am Anthony Cates, and this is Fantasy MLB Today, a Sports Ethos presentation. I'd like to thank you for joining me today as we discuss Thursdays and Fridays pitching streams. Now, I don't know about you, but there's just something about going back to work after you've been on vacation for like a week, maybe a week and a half, where it feels a little unfamiliar, no longer how long you've worked there. You know, in my current workspace, I've been there for just about 12 years, and twice a year, I like to take a week and a half, 2 weeks of vacation. I just come back, and I'm never prepared to come back, or I don't think anybody is. And then I just, you know, there's just an air of unfamiliarity for a week or two where I'm just like, do I still remember how to do my job? Am I doing everything right? Do I remember everyone's name? Do I know where I'm at? And, you know, I had that feeling yesterday. It was my first day back at work, about a week and a half. And it was just, you know, it felt odd. Everything felt off. The hours were too long. You know, I work mid shift. I work the overnight shift, which is really good for talking some fantasy sports. That means I can sit there and poke at stats all night, but it's just not perfect for coming back from a vacation. You got to reset your schedule, get used to being awake overnight again. There's just, you know, an air of weirdness is what I'd say. I don't know if you guys experience this. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you want to talk about it, you know, tell me about your air of weirdness at work when you come back from vacation. Make sure you shout at me on Twitter at AKFantasyBB. And before we dive into everything, I do want to thank our friends at BetOnline, the number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, and soccer to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing, every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to their online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind one of their over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. On the docket for today, we're going to go over Nathan's recommended streamers for Thursday, and then we'll dive deep into my choice streamers for Friday. You know, we want you to be a step ahead of all your league mates, so make sure and follow me on Twitter at AKFantasyBB and the Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball account at EthosFantasyBB for our latest fantasy baseball podcast analysis and insight. So for our pickups, our streams on this podcast, the rules are pretty simple. The only starters that we care about daily are starters that are rostered in 65% of leagues or less. If someone is not mentioned, it's for one of two reasons. They are owned in too many leagues, so you're probably not going to have a chance to stream them, or they're such a terrible option to stream that we just don't recommend them at all. So Nathan has a few starters that he's recommended for today to stream. One of them is Jordan Montgomery against the Twins. And then Ben Lively versus the Royals, and Jordan Hicks at home against the Cubs. He recommends fading Andrew Abbott against the Cardinals, and he was recommending to fade Drew Thorpe against Atlanta, but he's been moved off the start against the Braves and actually moved on to my streamer list for Friday because he has a much easier opponent in that matchup. And as always, if you want the deeper reasoning behind Nathan's choices, you just go back and listen to yesterday's podcast where he's going to provide the analysis and statistics behind his decisions. After you do that, and after you finish up listening to my recommendations for Friday, go ahead, head on over to sportsethos.com and check out what else you have to offer for your fantasy baseball needs. Every Monday, we drop a fantasy baseball week in review. That's how I go over all 30 teams, the relevant stats that came with them. Larry Venosi has his weather impact articles twice a week, informing you of the climate situation for every series. We have the pickups of the day every single day of the MLB regular season. Nathan breaks down a different hitter every Friday for fantasy purposes. And we get all kinds of stuff going on over the weekend when it comes to fab, free. And we have all kinds of articles that come out over the weekend as well. Fab bins for your hitters. Streamers for the week, etc. So make sure head on over to the site when you're done listening to the podcast. We got a ton of great things going on over there. Let's dive into my streamers, which I have five streamers. I recommend for Friday. And then I've got one fade. There's a guy I'm absolutely staying away from. You're probably already staying away from him, but I really just want people to know, do not stream this guy on Friday. I do want to mention that all of the stats I'm going to be discussing will be for the month of June. All the stats are 30 the month of June against either left or right-handed pitching, depending on the starter, and at home or away. I want to kind of start really focusing and making more micro decisions instead of focusing on larger time frames or on the whole, on the road and at home, etc. So with the streams, we're going to kick it off with Drew Thorpe, who's no longer playing against Atlanta on Thursday, but will be pitching against Colorado at home in Chicago. Thorpe is rostered in 13% of leagues, so he's available in nearly 90% of all leagues. And he is coming off of his best major league start, which is against the Tigers of Detroit. He picked six innings, he only allowed two hits, and he struck out five, no runs, but he did walk four, which is not great. But honestly, this stream has less to do with Thorpe, just more to do with how bad the Rockies are on the road. And as we know, the Rockies offense pretty much every single season is much worse on the road than it is at home. And which means it's also worse than the Tigers' offenses at home. They're the fourth worst WRC plus against right-handed pitchers on the road at 66th, fourth worst OPS at 580, fourth worst slugging at 307. They're the third worst strikeout rate at 27.4%. They have the absolute worst ground ball and fly ball rate at 1.64 ground balls to fly balls, which is just abysmal. The lowest fly ball rate at 29.6%. It's not great. It's terrible. Even the quote unquote stars of the offense, Ezekiel Tovar, Ryan McMahon, Elias Diaz when he's healthy, this new guy, Hunter Goodman, none of them have really played that well on the road. Being that as it may, Thorpe is only kind of a deeper league, like a 15 team, maybe some 14 team leagues or deeper stream. You're kind of hoping for a strikeout an inning. He's probably going to have a couple of walks, even though the Rockies don't walk a lot. What you're hoping for here is the wind and a quality start, which I do think there's pretty strong possibility of that happening. And I do believe the ratios will probably be all right as well. 15 teams, maybe 14 teams. Anything smaller and you're risking it, though I do know these are Friday starts. These are the last 3 days of the week. So if you need the innings, you can risk them, but don't say I told you to do so. I'd rather in smaller leagues you don't run Drew Thorpe out there. So after Drew Thorpe, we have Frankie Montas, who will be pitching at St. Louis. He is 16% owned. He's not a great arm because he's only owned at 16% of leagues. But if you look at his June compared to the rest of the season, he has been much better. He's up to just over a strikeout an inning in June, though he's also raised his walk rate a little bit. He has only allowed one home run over his four starts in June compared to the seven he allowed in his first 10. He did lose his first start of the season against the Cardinals in May, but it was still a quality start, right? He went six innings, he allowed three runs. He only walked two. He didn't allow a home run, and he struck out five, which makes you think he's probably going to end up with another line like that, maybe a little bit better, just because he is pitching better right now. And St. Louis hasn't been great. They've been terrible. It's kind of middle of the pack, I guess, right-handed pitchers at home in June. The middle of the pack. They're 13th or 14th best in WRC+, in OPS, slugging, on-base percentage. They do have the third worst strikeout rate at 25.2%, second worst walk rate at 5.6%, and then they're the bottom half of the league in extra base hits against right-handed pitchers at home in June. I feel pretty safe running Montas out there in 14-team or deeper leagues, and possibly even like 12-team leagues if you guys use quality starts instead of wins. I think I'd feel a little safe with that. St. Louis is the better overall team. I just don't think their offense is good enough to kind of run Montas out of the game early. And I think if he can get a little bit of run support behind him, pitch a little bit confidence that maybe we could see like a 6 or 7 inning really good game. Next, for the Dodgers, we have Landon Knack, who's going to be pitching at the Giants in San Francisco. He has rostered 15% of the leagues. And Knack has looked pretty good in the big leagues. He has had 5 starts, but the problem is he's been like really incredibly lucky. Batters have a 183 BABIP against him, which is like so far below league average. And he stranded nearly 92% of all base runners, which is just like insane. Right? League average is like around 70%. So he's stranding actually 22% of base runners. Your numbers are going to look really good. But with that said, he's done a really decent job of limiting home runs in his first 5 starts. He's only allowed 3/25 2/3. But he does have a 44.6% fly ball rate. So when he does pitch in more homer-friendly stadiums, he's probably going to allow home runs. But I guess luck is in his side because, on Friday, he's going to be facing the Giants in San Francisco at Oracle Park. And Oracle Park suppresses home runs more than any other stadium in the major leagues. And added to that, in the month of June, the Giants have been one of the worst offenses in baseball. They're the 7th worst WRC plus against right-hand pitchers at home in June. The 4th worst OPS at .628. 4th worst slugging at .340. They are tied for the 9th worst strikeout rate at 23.4%. They're the 7th highest ground ball rate at 45%. And the 4th lowest home run to fly ball ratio at 8.2%. So I don't expect like Knack to just absolutely dominate the Giants. But I do feel that this will be his 6th straight start, allowing 2 runs or less. He'll probably have, also a decent whip. He has yet to allow more base runners than any pitch so far. Maybe a handful of strikeouts. I figure if he needs just 6 innings, you're probably looking at 5 strikeouts. I don't know, 2 walks, 3 or 4 hits. Probably a win. Maybe a quality start, though he's only got 6 innings and 1 over start so far. But with the backing of the Dodgers bats, pitching against a really poor Giants offense, especially in the month of June, and with luck on his side, I'm willing to run Knack out there at leagues as shallow as 12 teams. It's because I think like the odds of him getting blown out are just very low, right? Like I'm not intimidated by the Giants offense right now. I don't think they're going to be able to really attack Landon Knack that much. So yeah, I'd run him out there, 12-team leagues. I guess 10-team if you're desperate, if you have a bunch less starts than your opponent and you've got to try to catch up in some numbers. But ideally, 12 teams or more, run them out there. Next, we have bad pitcher versus bad offense, right? We have Slade Ciccone for the Diamondbacks, who's going to be at home against the Oakland Athletics. He's 2% rostered. And when I look at a situation like this, bad pitcher, bad offense, I usually lean towards the better team, which is the Diamondbacks in this instance. What you're not going to get with Ciccone is a lot of strikeouts, but also he's not really going to walk anybody. He's got a 1.52 walk per nine, which is really great. He is a fly ball pitcher who allows too many home runs. And he is facing a team that hits a decent amount of fly balls, but they're not hitting a lot of home runs right now. And they're also one of the worst teams in this right-hand pitchers on the road in June. Oakland is 9th worst in WRC plus at 83, the 9th worst OPS at .631, 7th worst slugging .340, and the 4th worst strikeout rate at 27.3%. In the month of June, they had the 7th most plate appearances against righties, but they've only scored the 19th most runs, the 2nd most strikeouts, and they have 67th hits, which is the 14th quote unquote best. But out of the 67 hits, only 18 have been extra base hits. So it's lots of singles, not a lot of walks.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
For Ciccone, this is a deep league play for me. I'm talking 15, 16 teams and deeper. Anything smaller than that. It's got to be a points league, and only if you're hoping for the win, for him not to give up more than two or three runs, and you're looking for five or six innings. But those 15, 16, 20 team leagues, these really deep leagues out there, all you're hoping for is the win, five innings, get out with minimal damage, get the W. The last name on our streamers is Jameson Taillon, pitcher for the Cubs at Milwaukee. He is the highest rostered of all of my streamers at 33%. And he is the best of the bunch as well. He should be rostered 30% leagues. He's not a dominant starter. He's not going to, strike out 10 batters every nine innings. He doesn't have a 100-mile-per-hour fastball. But what he does really well, and something he's done throughout his career, is he limits barrels. This year he's at 6.8%. Hard hits, he's at 34.1%. Walks, which is at a 2.11 per nine innings pitched. And home runs, which is 1.05 per nine. Kind of add that together, you get a real steady, really decent number three starter. And that number three starter is going to take those numbers and see how well the team with the 11th worst WRC plus against right-hand pitchers at home in June can do, right? And the Brewers, they also have the 8th worst OPS at 652 in that time frame. They have the tied for the worst slugging at 332, so we're not hitting home runs, we're not hitting a bunch of extra base hits. They're tied for the worst, 7th worst strikeout rate at 23.7%. They have the absolute worst ground ball to fly ball ratio at 1.58 and fly ball rate at 31.5%. So it's a bunch of worm burners, not a lot of fly balls, not a lot of home runs, not a lot of extra base hits. But they do have the best walk rate at 13.4%. A high walk rate team going up against a guy who kind of limits walks. Rock and a hard place right there. I'm choosing the Rock, which is Taillon. I'm willing to put him out there in 12-team or deeper leagues. I think we're looking at, a fourth consecutive quality start for Taillon. Obviously, if he gets you six innings, maybe five strikeouts, probably four or five strikeouts. Let's call it two earned runs is my guess, maybe less. Solid ratios. And someone who you can probably place a bet they're going to win the game. I think Milwaukee's offense has been struggling. I don't think Jameson Taillon is going to be the medicine that fixes their ailments. So those are my streamers. And my one fade, this is not a heavily rostered player. This is just somebody who I when I was younger and I would look for someone to stream over the weekend. It's Friday. Maybe I'm struggling. I've got two starts the rest of the weekend. I'm already behind on numbers, or I'm shallow. You're hanging on with a shallow lead, but your opponent has three more starts than you. So you're like, who can I start? And the guy that I don't want anyone to start, and if he has a great game, you can yell at me on Twitter. That's JP Sears. He's pitching against the Diamondbacks in Arizona. He's only rostered in 8% of the leagues. But they have been one of the hottest teams against left-handed pitching in the month of June. I know you look at the strikeout rate and the walk rate, there's no way this team's been doing well. They have the sixth best WRC plus at 147, so they're 47% better than the average. The fifth best OPS at 888, fourth best slugging at 540, and they also have their tied for the second best batting average at 333. And Sears, he might be a great guy, but for the month of June, he has been horrible on the mound. So this isn't like a usual fade for me. Usually I'm aiming for guys 50, 60, 70% rostered, but this is for like deep leaguers who they're desperate. They need a healthy body to go out there and throw some pitches. No, don't do it. Avoid JP Sears. If you start them, it's on you. I don't feel like there's a single positive outcome that's going to happen from this game for him. So that's it. There you have it. Those five streamers, Truthor, Frankie Montas, Landon Knack, Slade Ciccone, and Jameis Taillon, and then my one face, JP Sears. Now we've covered all our streams. Why don't you go ahead and head on over to sportsheroes.com. Find out what we have going on in our other sports departments, right? On the football side, they're slowly but surely dropping the 2024 Fantasy Football Draft Guide. This thing is going to be filled to the brim with positional breakdowns, draft tips, team breakdowns, mock drafts, positional rankings. We've got draft tools coming, the ADP tools, the sleepers, busts. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, there's going to be so much great stuff in that draft guide. But then over in the fantasy basketball department, right? We just had the NBA draft last night, so that's been a pretty hot topic lately. We've got plenty of articles leading up to the draft, historical draft sleepers and player profiles. Plus, the team was dropping the final few team season wraps and dynasty reviews. If you head on over to our basketball podcast, we have the Daily Fantasy NBA Today, where Aaron Brewski and Steve Alexander go over all the relevant fantasy basketball news. We have Fantasy WNBA Today, where Kenny Scott and the dynamic Jerry Zier duo cover all fanciest aspects of WNBA, including daily fantasy sports and everything that includes. And then also we have the EuroLeague Hoops podcast. It's Andre, Diogo, and Tiago cover FIBA, the Olympics, so everything European hoops related. I want to thank you guys for hanging out, listening to me ramble on, giving you my thoughts on, Thursday streamers, Friday streamers, and just kind of talk to you about my day. I want to make sure again, you guys are all free to follow me on Twitter at AKFantasyBB and follow Sports Ethos Fantasy Baseball at EthosFantasyBB. Make sure to tune in every single day to the Fantasy MLB Today podcast. On Spotify, or on iTunes, Audible, anywhere you get your pods, we're going to be there. Have a good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, and we'll catch you in the next one. And don't forget, this episode was presented by BetOnline.